All right. Good morning, guys. Welcome back. I got a fan section over here. I got a couple more. You guys are going to make me blush. I haven't even started yet. So I want to share with you guys. Last week I talked about singing, and I want to share another joy of mine, and it's the joy of opening packages. I get to order a lot of things on Amazon for our church because of my position. And I love to open boxes and unpack them, and I love to put things together. I love to assemble things. And one thing that I don't like instructions. Any other guys out there? It makes you, like, if I use the instructions, it, like, makes me feel defeated, which is fine as long as I don't mind assembling it twice. But one area that I do love to follow instructions is in cooking. Now, I don't cook much. I'm a guy. I have a roommate, and I don't cook for him because that's weird. But I cook for myself sometimes because it's way cheaper. And when I cook, I get my phone out, and I'm like, straight to Google. I'm like, Google, how do I bake chicken? Oh, 400 degrees at 20 minutes. Yes. And it comes out, and it's so good. And so last night, you guys, I made some Rice Krispie treats. Because Rice Krispie treats, they are on the decline. They're extremely underrated. Ever since I got out of fifth grade, it's like people think they're too good to bring Rice Krispie treats to the party. And somehow, like, brownies and everything else took the upper hand. So I made some Rice Krispie treats last night, and I actually made them. That's me. And I had to go to my mom's house because she has all the proper equipment. And you guys, these are the real Rice Krispies. This isn't, like, off-brand, because everybody knows that, like, off-brand cereal is never as good. And so I got, like, the real deal because I wanted to make real Rice Krispies. And Rice Krispies, they have their own formula. They have their own way. And they say you got to get the Kraft Jet Puffed Marshmallows. And then on the Kraft Jet Puffed Marshmallows are Rice Krispies, Kellogg's, instructions for how to make the best Rice Krispies. And so when I decided to make Rice Krispies, I'm like, I'm going to do what they say. Because when I think about where they got this recipe, I think of years of perfection. I think of 20 guys in lab coats in a kitchen with tons of ovens for years perfecting. Oh, let's try it with 4 more marshmallows. Let's try it with a little more butter. And they have perfected it. And so when I think about making the best Rice Krispie treats ever, I follow their instructions. Does anybody want one? Come. Well, you got to come get one if you want one. Just like, yeah, here you go. That's good. There you go. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. This is going to. You guys got to hurry up if you're coming from the back. I don't have time for this. They're real. I actually made these. I was going to use fake ones, and then I realized I couldn't start my message off with a lie. So I actually had to make them last night. And you see, I follow the instructions on those. And that's very simply, it's called obedience. I did it the way they told me to do it. Because I believe that it's going to be better that way. And so I follow the instructions exactly like they gave it. And so that's obedience. It's doing what you told. Are we going to talk about obedience today? Yeah, we are. And then that's a word, and you're like, oh, obedience. If you're a kid, you're like, I hate obedience. You've got to be obedient every day to your teacher, to your parents, to everybody. And obedience, it's not bad, actually. It's really great. And obedience, it's a choice. First thing you have to know about obedience is it's a decision. It's not an idea. It's not a concept. It's not a thought. It's a decision. Doing something the way that somebody tells you to do something is a yes or no decision. Either you're going to do it that way or you're not. You can think about doing it one way, but unless you actually decide, you have to take action. You have to do something. Obedience requires doing something. And this is a decision that we get to make every day. Every day. When you get in your car, you have to decide whether or not you're going to obey the law and buckle up. You have to decide whether or not you're going to go to the speed limit. You go to work and you decide whether or not you're going to obey your boss and do it the way they tell you to do it. You go to school and you have to decide whether or not you're going to abide by the dress code, dress the way they tell you to dress, sit where they sit you want you to sit. You have to decide whether or not you're going to obey your parents. If you have a coach or a trainer, you have to decide whether or not you're going to take their advice. You're going to follow their instructions and play the game the way they want you to play it. And work out and exercise and eat the way they want you to live your life. And you have to decide every day whether or not you're going to make those choices. And you're going to do things the way that people tell you to do them. And this is really important because every time that we make this decision, it has an impact. If you decide to run a red light that might have a really big impact. If you decide to listen to your coach, it's probably going to make you a better player. If you decide to obey your parents, you're going to have a better relationship. If you obey your bosses, they're going to like you more and you're going to do better at work. So every decision we make has an impact. Everything. And last week we talked about how this limitless God wants to use limited people to impact the world. And this idea of impact and obedience impact. And what we're going to talk about today is that obedience to God leads to impact for God. That when we decide to do the things that God tells us to do, to obey God, to follow his instructions, to follow his directions, to follow the recipe for life, we have impact for God. And so last week we talked about Moses and God meeting this guy Moses, who was this shepherd, and telling Moses, I want to use you. And this limitless God wanting to use this limited person to affect the world, to impact the world. And so Moses is out in this desert, and he's been a farmer. He takes care of these sheep for 40 years, and then he meets God, and God speaks to him and says, Moses, there's this problem. I want you to solve it. I want you to impact the world. I want you, Moses, to be a part of the biggest story ever told. And so Moses has this dialogue with God, and after this long dialogue, they come to conclusions, and this is what God tells Moses. He says, so now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God meets Moses on this mountain, and he says, go, do, act. And at this moment, this is where Moses gets to decide if he's going to obey God, if he's going to do what God tells him to do. When God tells him this, all this is, it's just potential. Nothing's happened yet. God's telling Moses, I want to use you. I want to partner with you. I want you to be a part of this thing. I want you to set these people free. But you have to go. Will you go, Moses? And Moses tells God, I'm not good enough. I'm limited. I'm inadequate. That problem is too big for me to solve. And God says, that's right. It is too big for you to solve. You are limited. You are inadequate, but I'm not. And where your limits limit you, Moses, your limits don't limit me. And if you decide to partner with me, we can impact the world. You can impact the world for me, Moses. And so Moses, after this conversation with God, this is what it says about Moses. So Moses took his wife and his sons and put them on a donkey and started back to Egypt. Moses, will you do this? Moses, will you go? He went back to Egypt. He took his family and he went. He said, okay, God, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand this, but I'm going to go. I'm going to do what you told me to do. And this is the beginning of impact. God gave Moses a decision. Moses, will you go? Will you partner with me? And Moses said, yes, impact. The only reason that I'm standing up here today, even saying Moses' name, is because he took the first step in obedience towards God. He did what God told him to do. And if he hadn't started here, if he hadn't gone back to Egypt, Moses would have missed out on one of the biggest stories ever told in the Bible, and we would not be talking about him today. Because Moses decided to be obedient to God and obey God, impact. The beginning of impact. When we decide to be obedient to God and live life the way he desires us, impact for God. And so Moses goes back to Israel, goes back to the Israelites, goes back to Egypt, and over the next 10 chapters, you guys, like, this amazing story unfolds. And I wish I could stand up here and, like, narrate the whole thing, because it's this crazy story, and I think they're going to make a movie about it, so go see it. Hopefully, you know, maybe we'll do another series about it, about how much we don't like it. But I'm kidding, I liked it. I'm sure this will be great. I'm not trying to get all political. So these next 10 chapters are packed full of God interacting with Moses and God telling Moses to go do things and saying, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Will you do it? 33 times in this story, 33, I counted them myself, God gives Moses a direct command. And he says, go, do this thing. 33 times, Moses does it. 33 times, Moses obeys God. Obedience, impact. Obedience, Impact. Will you follow me? Impact. Will you trust me? Impact. Will you live life the way I'm asking you to? Impact for God. And Moses learned some really big lessons about obedience through this. Some really big lessons. And the first thing Moses learned is that obedience to God doesn't always make sense. Obedience to God does not make sense always. It's confusing. God met Moses on that mountain and was like, Moses, you're going to set 2.5 million people free. How? That doesn't make sense, God. I'm going to march in there and tell them what to do, and then that's going to happen. God, this does not make sense. And you guys, this happens all the time. God asks us to make decisions in our lives. God asks us to obey him in areas and to make choices, and it doesn't make sense. All the time, we're asked to be obedient in ways that don't make sense, in ways that we don't understand. God says you're supposed to love people who hate you, and you're supposed to forgive them before they're even sorry? That doesn't make sense. What? How am I supposed to do that, God? God says, I'm not supposed to sleep with my girlfriend until we get married? What? Have you watched TV? I grew up on The Real World. Like, that doesn't make sense, God. That's not what college is about. You want me to do what? I can't do that. God will ask us to do things that don't make sense, that we don't understand. And when God says, follow me, when God says, be obedient, when God says, trust me, even though you don't understand it, even though it doesn't make sense, we have to decide whether or not to obey. And when we make that decision, impact. Even though it doesn't make sense, and we say, God, I trust you. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm going to do it your way. Impact. And that's what Moses met. Another thing Moses figured out is that obedience to God is met with resistance. It doesn't make sense, and it's met with resistance. And Moses goes back to Israel, to Egypt, and God tells him, go to the Israelites, Moses, and get the elders, like the old people that are in charge, get them together and tell them that I sent you to set them free and tell them everything I've told you, Moses. So Moses goes to the Israelites and he gets all the people in charge of the Israelites together and he says, this is what God told me. God told me to come here and do this thing, and I'm on this mission with God to set you guys free. And they're like, yeah, awesome, 430 years of slavery, like, about time, Moses. Thank you, God. And they're excited, they're on board. And then God tells Moses, go to Pharaoh, go to the guy in charge now, and tell him what I say, and tell him to let these people go. Okay, God, decision, direction, instructions. Moses says, okay, I'll go. And he goes to Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. You guys are lazy. You guys want to leave? You guys just want to leave because you're tired of working. You guys are lazy. And the Israelites, what they did was they made bricks. And apparently you make bricks with, like, straw and mud. I don't think they make bricks like that anymore. And I don't think they make them by hand. But so, like, the Israelites would make bricks. I mean, they take some straw and some mud and some water, and I don't know how you do it. But Pharaoh says, look, okay, the Israelites, because you guys are so lazy, because you guys want to leave, you guys have to make just as many bricks as you did before, and we're not going to give you any of the materials to build them. You guys need to go get your own hay now, and you need to work just as hard and build just as many bricks. And so the Israelites, now they have to work harder, and then so the Israelites go to Moses, and they're like, Moses, you said you're going to let us go free. Our life is worse now. What is going on? And then Moses has this conversation with God, and he tells God, God, this doesn't make sense. You told me to go do this thing, and I thought you were going to let these people go free. Resistance. Resistance. Obedience. Resistance. When we're obedient to God, sometimes things aren't going to work out. It doesn't have the end result that we always think. People are going to look at us and be like, that is stupid. Why would you make that type of decision? Why would you do that? Why would you follow God like that? And then things don't work out the way we think. We think it's going to be like flowers and rainbows, and I'm going to do what God told me to do, and life's going to be perfect. And that is not what obedience means. Obedience means I trust you even though I don't know how it's going to turn out. I trust you even though this decision I make might get life. It might make it a little bit harder. And you guys, obedience leads to impact, but impact is not always what we think it's going to be. And impact is not immediate. It's met with resistance. And you guys, you may make decisions in your life to obey God, to do what God tells you to do, and you may never see the impact of it. But that doesn't mean that it's not real. That didn't mean that it didn't affect somebody. And one day in heaven, when we get to see our lives in full and understand who God is, we'll understand that every decision that we made to be obedient impacted people's lives. It impacted this world. And that's what Moses figured out, that it wasn't about resistance. Moses also figured out obedience to God is all about persistence. Make sense, resistance, persistence. That's good. Remember that. It rhymes. Lots of S's. And it's all about persistence. 33 times God told Moses to do this thing, and then Moses did it. 32 times they didn't go free. 32. If that was me, I'd get to like number 4 if I was lucky. And I'd be like, God, I don't know. I must be dreaming. I must be hearing voices. This isn't right. And you guys, obedience, deciding to follow God, isn't a decision that we make one time. When you make a decision to live your life in a certain way, when you make a decision to treat people in a certain way, to have your relationships look a certain way, to have certain habits in your life, to get rid of other habits, when you make the decision to follow God, to be obedient to God, that is a decision that you have to make every day. Just because you made the decision yesterday doesn't mean you don't have to make it today. And a lot of the decisions that we make to follow God, to be obedient, to live life like he wants us to live, we have to make those decisions over and over and over again. And we have to know, even though it's not looking the way we thought, even though it's harder than we thought, even though it doesn't make sense, we have to know that obedience, God, I'm going to do it your way, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to follow you, has real impact on this world. It matters. Every single decision to follow God, to obey God, has real impact. And we have to make those decisions over and over and over again. You guys, obedience to God leads to impact for God. When we decide to follow God, it's going to have real impact. And so, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, where in the heck is our burning bush? Like, what is God telling us to do? What are you supposed to do? What kinds of decisions are you supposed to make? I've never encountered a burning bush. I don't know if you guys have. I've never heard this loud thunder and this incredibly audible voice from God. And before we look at this, you guys have to ask yourself something really, really important. And it's, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what God wants you to do? Do you really want to know how God wants you to live your life? Because it's not going to make sense. There's going to be resistance. It's not always going to work out the way you want it to. And you have to do it over and over again. And it's going to be hard to be obedient to God. And are you ready to follow God when it doesn't make sense? To say, God, I trust you. And I know that one day this is going to work out. And this is going to have real impact. That it matters to my life and it matters to this world. It matters to my friends and my family. Do you really want to follow God in that way? That is a huge decision, because you don't get to decide once it makes sense. If Moses waited till it made sense, he wouldn't be a part of this story. And we miss out. And so do you really want to know? I had a professor in college that told me 90%. 90% of God's will for our life is in the Bible. 90% of the decisions that God wants us to make are made clear in the Bible. When you dig into Scripture and you start to read the Old Testament and how God interacted with these people, and you start to read the New Testament and the teachings of Jesus and the disciples and then the letters of Paul to all these different churches, it's filled with guidelines and principles and ways that God wants us to make decisions. And you guys, it's in us. Jesus tells us that when we accept Christ, like, God lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit of God speaks to us. And so if you've accepted Christ, like, you know that voice. It's like, hey, I don't think that's really healthy, Ryan. I don't know if I would keep making that decision. I don't think you should do that. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe you shouldn't go there. Maybe you should say this instead. Maybe you should be nicer to them. Maybe you should forgive them. Maybe you should listen more. Maybe you should be more quiet, more calm, more patient. And that voice lives in us. You guys, I want to encourage you, follow that voice. That's God leading us. That's God saying, this is what I want for you. And then as we also dig into scripture, we learn the character of God. We get to see the creator, this limitless God, interact with people just like us, with Moses, with all these characters who are extremely limited. And we get to see what that relationship looked like. And then we can take our life and we can use that as a lens for how we view God and how we make decisions. And so some of those arbitrary decisions that we have to make that aren't super clear in the Bible, when we take the character and the characteristics of God and we hold that up to our life, it can help it make a lot more sense. And those instructions for following God become a lot more clear. Obedience to God leads to impact for God. Obedience, impact. Will you follow me? Will you trust me? Will you do it the way that I'm asking you to do it? Impact, impact, impact. We have to decide. You have to make the decision every day of whether or not you want to follow God. An Australian guy, Peter, when he was 18 or 19 years old, came to America back in 1988. I was 3. How's that make you feel? And in 1988, he came to America, and he met this really beautiful girl named Barbie, and they fell in love because he's Australian, and he's got this really cool accent. And then they get married after a year of writing letters back and forth because it's 1988, and Skype doesn't exist, and it costs $50 to call the other side of the world. And they get married, and then they move to Australia, and they were only going to live there for a little bit, but then she's like, well, this is Australia, and it's, like, beautiful. And it's like rainbows and never rains and everything magical happens on the other side of the world. And so they spend the next 20 years in Australia. And this is Barbie and Peter. And while they're there, they build a life. They have 4 beautiful children. They get a house right on the ocean. He has a great job. They love their family. They get involved in the church. They love God. They're trying to live this life of obedience, following God, listening to God. And then eventually they go on a missions trip and they get to go to Thailand. And I've never been to Thailand, but while there, they get to expose some really crazy things. This is called the red light district. And there's areas of like this all over the world. And men from all over flock to places like this, to streets like this, and pay money to sleep with underage women. And this is sex trafficking. And he went and he saw this. And God got a hold of his heart. And God was like, this is not okay. This is not right. And so when they got back, they made the decision to get involved. And they wanted to help. And so they partnered with this organization called Destiny Rescue. It was founded in Australia. And in this program, they raise money so that they can take these girls out of child prostitution, out of sex trafficking, rehabilitate them, teach them skills, give them counseling, teach them about Christ, and give them a new life. And so they got involved with this organization over there, and they started raising money. And it started to grow, and then they realized they needed to go bigger. They needed to reach out more. And so they decided that they were going to open a branch of Destiny Rescue in the U.S. and have a headquarters here. And so Barbie, because she was born here in America, and she had family here, she had a lot of relationships. So she starts using this network of relationships to find a board to start this organization here. And they start looking and they're praying about it, and this is so important to them and it's on their heart, and they believe that God is asking them to be a part of this thing. And after months of praying, they decide and they believe that God is telling them that they need to move to America and do it themselves. They believe that God was speaking to them and telling them, look, you guys don't need to find somebody, you need to do it. You know people here, you have family here, you have connections, you have dual citizenship. And they believe that God was telling them to move. And so in 2008, they began the process. They sold their home. They sold their cars. I think they had a dog they got rid of. They quit their jobs. They took their children out of high school and middle school. And they transplanted their whole life to Indiana. Australia, Indiana. Doesn't make sense. Palm trees to cornfields. Because they believed that God was calling them to do something. And they made the decision that they were going to be obedient to that. And so they came to America, and they started this organization here. and they started telling anybody who would listen about this problem going on in the world, and tried to find people and raise money so they could carry this operation out. In their first year, in 2009, Destiny Rescue raised $91,000. So that's a good sum of money. It pays for them to take care of their family and move their whole life to the other side of the world. And they started small, and they kept working, and they kept doing, they kept being obedient and putting their heart and their lives into this and doing what God told them to do. And they didn't question that. They knew that they were supposed to do this, and they just kept being obedient, obedient, obedient. 4 years later, since then, in 2013, they've raised $5.1 million. They have set 700 underage girls free from child prostitution and sex trafficking. Obedience, 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 impact. Real lives, real girls. It's not a joke. Their obedience had real effect on this world beyond what they ever would have imagined. My aunt is the CEO of a, she's my aunt, they're my aunt and uncle. That's why this is so close to me. She's the CEO of a multi-million dollar nonprofit organization. And they affect thousands of lives. And they raise awareness, and people get to be a part of this. People all over the world get to be a part of this, solving this problem. Because they were obedient. Impact. Lives were changed. Moses led those people out of slavery and through the Red Sea because he was obedient over and over and over again. And then those Israelites go across that Red Sea. Freedom. Impact. Lives are saved. And so, you guys, I am not... I'm not telling you to move to the other side of the world and start an organization. God doesn't call everybody to that. But God calls everybody to be obedient. And he tells us, when you partner with me, when you follow me, when you live life the way I designed it to be lived, when you follow my instructions, when you choose to obey me, you will have impact. You will change people's lives, and it's not going to make sense, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be met with resistance, and you have to do it over and over and over again and be persistent, but there is impact. Lives will be changed. And so, you guys, every day we get to make the decision to be obedient to God, and every time we make that decision, it has impact, and we don't always understand it, but one day, and it may be in heaven, we might have to be really patient and wait. We're going to see the impact of every decision that we made to be obedient to God. So I'm going to pray for you guys. God, thank you so much that you love us enough to give direction for our lives. God, help us to work through whatever fear, whatever it is that we're not making these decisions. God, help us to trust you more. Help us to be obedient. Help us to see that we have real impact when we partner with a limitless God. And you work through limited people. We love you. Amen.